Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Welcome to our brand new series entitled Not Today. And we believe God's going to teach us the great weapons that He's placed in our hands that we might overcome every work of the devil. How many of you believe that today? And today it's going to be really exciting. But before we move any further, I wanted to celebrate just really something I was just so excited about when I heard. We have a great person who's a part of Team My City. His name's Tom Hansen. And just a few days ago, he celebrated a year of sobriety and brand new day and freedom in his life. And so awesome. And man, on Friday, we had our I Love My City event, and I went and was walking around, and I saw him there, and I said, hey, how are you doing? How's it going? He's like, man, it messed up his back at work. And he said, I was sitting on the couch, and my girlfriend, first service, I said his wife, maybe it's prophetic, I don't know. We'll see what happens. She said, are you going to go? And he said, I was sitting there on my back. I said, you know what, man, I'm just going to get up, I'm going to go serve. And went to serve at our I Love My City event, and I was just looking at him, and I was just like talking about a not today devil guy. I love that. Overcoming, man. I'm so thankful for what God's doing in people's lives in our church. And the thing I love about Tom is he's found his place here at My City Church. He's began to serve, and he's finding purpose. And I wanted to say just this great quote. It's one of my favorite quotes. There's two great days in a man's life, the day that he's born and the day he discovers why. And that's what we want for you at this church, and that's what our next classes are all about. Today, right after this class, upstairs, we have step three that's all about you discovering your design, and we believe as you discover how God's built you, your personality, your spiritual gifts, that you can find a place to make a difference and begin to discover why you are here on planet Earth, and I'd love to invite you to that. Well, if you got your Bibles with me, Luke chapter 4 and verses 1 through 14. This is the temptation of Jesus. It's going to be a little bit of a reading today, but I think it's going to be a powerful day, so I encourage you to be full of faith as I work through this. It says this, then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterwards, when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. But Jesus answered him, saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word out of the mouth of God. Then the devil, taking him up onto a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give to you. I will give to you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And Jesus answered him and said, I like it. Got a little bit more attitude to this one. Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him alone you shall serve. Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the height of the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written. Look at this great flip. The devil's actually taking what is Psalm 91, the greatest protection psalm in all of the Bible, and it's trying to take it and use it to tempt Jesus. He says, for it is written, you shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him and said, it is also written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, say every temptation. It's a key part of this, because every temptation that's going to come your way leads back to these. He departed from him until a more opportune time. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went throughout all the surrounding region. Today, I want to talk to you from this topic or this thought. It is written. It is written. Let's just say that together. It is written. It just sounds good. It feels good, doesn't it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. God, we thank you that there's power in your word. Lord God, that we don't stand in our own authority. We stand in the authority of Jesus Christ as sons and daughters of God to declare your word, Lord God, to walk in boldness and freedom. And Lord God, while we have you, we're so thankful, Lord, for a Husker victory. You are a miracle-working God. And we are so thankful. And we also play for the Hawkeyes, not as much because we don't like them as much, but anyway. Anyway, come on, if we love Jesus today in here, give him a good amen. Yeah, I got a question. Have you ever had one of those weeks that you just turned around and you were like, what on earth is happening? You know what I mean? We have sayings for it. When it rains, it pours. Like, we have these things, like, there's just these bad weeks, like, where you'd rather just get into bed rather than get out and do life. And this last 10 days plus has been one of those for me and my wife. We went on a little vacation together, and the only place that we could find within 6 hours that was semi-warm was Branson. How many know you're desperate for some warm weather and you're going to Branson? I mean, anyway, some of you might really like Branson. I don't know. I love the Dolly Parton Stampede. great. You eat the whole meal with your hands. You just feel awesome. And so we went down there, and it was crazy. As we were driving down, it was like my spirit was like a 911 emergency had went off in my spirit. Like, I can't express to you what I felt, but I knew, like, I was in the middle of spiritual warfare. I don't know how else to say it other than that. Like, I could feel oppression coming our way. Like, and I remember, I was on such a high alert. I read 8 books in 3 days. Like, that's, like, Angela thought something was wrong with me. I'm trying to enjoy, and I'm, like, totally being there with my kid and trying to enjoy. But I'd be up at night praying, reading. I couldn't sleep. I'm walking through that. I could feel something coming our way. I get back the next day. I wake up in the morning and to my mom calling me, telling me my grandmother had passed away. And she's 85 years old. She lived an awesome life. And it was just another, oh, man, like, she lived next to us my whole life, very close to me. It wasn't like a distant grandma. It was a very, very personal grandma to me. And we come in on Sunday, last Sunday. And while I'm preaching, I literally feel like I'm being suffocated. I can't explain it any other way than that. And second service, this service, I had to preach on a stool. By the end of the service, I felt it lift off of me. But it was just the weirdest, like, I knew we were under attack. And then the Sunday night, God wakes me up at 1 o'clock in the morning, alert. I was saying no when I woke up. And I woke up and I realized, I was so alert. You know what I mean? Like, I can't explain it to you anyway. I knew God wanted me to go downstairs and pray. I prayed from 1 o'clock till 5 o'clock in the morning, praying Psalm 91, that, you know, that we're protected, you know what I mean? I'm praying. I went and kneeled at my son's crib for almost an hour praying, you know what I mean? Like, over our family, whatever. I get up Monday morning, my son is vomiting several times in a row and is a little dizzy and kind of can't really walk. He's walking pretty good at this time, but he's touching the wall and so on and so forth, right? So we were thinking, oh, he got flu because he just came from church. You put a bunch of kids together and you get a couple things, a mess and some sickness. And so we thought, oh, he's fine. You know, whatever. We dropped him off at grandma's house. He takes a nap. When he gets up from his nap, he can't walk. And he just can't walk, can't stand up. So we're kind of freaked out. And we're like, oh, is this going to pass? No. We really felt like we'd take him to the hospital. We take him to the hospital. A pediatrician says you need to take him to the emergency room immediately. So we take him to the emergency room. And, you know, sometimes you go to the emergency room and they're like, they just kind of dither around because they don't want to freak you out. You know what I mean? Like, thank God for that. You know what I mean? They're not like, well, we think you might die tomorrow. Like, I don't want to hear that. But they were so aggressive. They said, in the next 30 minutes, we're going to have to sedate him. We're going to put him in for a full MRI, and we're going to do a spinal tap. And legitimately, they were thinking it was probably a brain tumor. Because he was totally lost. He couldn't sit up. And my wife's just having to hold him, right? So we're freaking out, right? So I went through this week. And I remembered, like, in my spirit, being angry. Like, I don't know how to express, like, not like a bad angry, like I wanted to throw a tantrum, but like a holy anger, like, not today. Not today, devil. I'm done. I'm done playing with this stuff. And I felt a war rise up on the inside of me that I can't really say. Now, I'm going to save the end of this story for the end of this message. But I was reminded this week that we have a real enemy. Like, I think the devil's greatest tool is to make all evil and the dark side of the spiritual world, like, cute and cutesy. Right? Like, we have it going on right now around Halloween. I'm not the overly religious type where I think Halloween is all, it's just, you know, you need to follow God's will and you need to have the Spirit of God inside of you. But I think it's ironic that we have, like, little devils that are, like, cutesy. Like, little horn, like, we don't, you know what I mean? Or they're so extreme where it's, like, crazy goblins that in our head we go, oh, that doesn't exist. Like, I think it's one of his greatest schemes, because I think one of his greatest schemes is to keep us ignorant of what he does. Peter talked about this. He said, don't be deceived. You have an enemy. And he prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. I want to let you know today, there is a real enemy. He is the devil, and he's playing for keeps. He's not like, oh, I just give him a little headache. No, friends, the Bible says in John 10:10, for the thief, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There's nothing passive about that. He hates everything that you represent because you are made in the image and the likeness of God. You were created to worship God, and he hates everything that you represent. Why? Because he's the spirit of rebellion. He doesn't want to stand under God's authority, and he'll do whatever he can to circumvent it. Listen, we have a real enemy, and he's playing for keeps, and we can't be ignorant of his schemes. Here's the promise that we have, that Jesus came to conquer death, hell, and the grave. All authority has been stripped from the devil, and Jesus has it. But we have to walk in our God-given authority. Here's what I would say. You have to enforce it in your life. It's just much like a cop. If a cop doesn't enforce the rule of law, how many of you know what we have? Anarchy, rebellion, right? But if the cops enforce the rule of law, what do we have? We have authority and order. It's the same thing in the spiritual realm until we get to heaven. Authority has been taken from the devil. And Jesus said, now you go and enforce. We are like the police officers of the spiritual realm over our families, over our city, and over our lives. And God wants to use us to stand against the works of the devil that we might find victory in Jesus' name. So who is this guy, the devil, like? You know, like, who is he? Like, where did he come from? Like, what's his M.O.? What's his mode of operation? Like, well, the first thing, you can find two major passages of scripture in the Bible that give us some insight on who the devil was, where he came from, what his stumbling block was, and now what his purposes are. One is found in Ezekiel 28. In Ezekiel 28, we discover that he was a cherub or an archangel. So you've heard of Michael and Gabriel? Most theologians would tell you Gabriel is in charge of the communications of heaven. Whenever you saw an angel appear with a message, Gabriel was the one sending it or involved in it. Michael, the archangel, is the what? The angel of heavenly war. He brings the battle. He comes. And listen, Lucifer was an archangel. He was literally called the morning star. He was in charge of the worship of heaven. He literally was to rest in the glory of God. The Bible says in Ezekiel 28 that there was no creature created as beautiful as him. He was covered with jewels, just beautiful, with a voice. The Bible says his pipes were tuned. What does that mean? He's like Caleb, but Caleb's holy. His pipes are tuned. He was in charge of the worship of heaven. The Bible says he literally was enthroned as a cherub. He was a covering over the throne. And what happened is he began to look at himself and go, man, I'm something. He began to look at himself. The Bible says he fell in love with his own splendor. And here's what happened. The other passage of scripture, Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Here's what it says. How you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Isn't it interesting? He is called son of the morning, and he's turned into the son of darkness. How have you been cut down to the ground? That's good news for me and you. You who weaken the nations. You have said in your heart, this is how he fell. You have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the far side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. See, he began to fall in love with himself, and he began to what? Look at all that he was doing, the beautiful worship he would lead, the beautifulness of who he was. And he says, why does God have to get all the worship? And he began to say these I will statements. They're called five I will statements. And just a little, I normally don't do acronyms because I think they're cheesy, but I think it fits right now. These five spell out pride. That was the root of his sin, pride. It literally goes like this. The first one, I will, was he said, I'm going to change my position without God's permission. He said, I'm going to rule. What is this? I'm going to move into a place of authority that God has not put me. What is he doing? I'm going to draw worship to myself. I'm going to idolize. And then I'm going to dazzle. I'm going to get people to fall in love with what they see and who I am. And then what? I'm going to claim equality with God. I'm going to ascend above God. And pride. These pride things inside of us corrupted the devil on the inside, and God cast him out of heaven to come and what? Roam the earth. He is the father of lies. All evilness is birthed out of him. He is not our friend. He is our enemy. He wants nothing good for you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to what? He wants to pull your position away from what God has called you. He wants to rule over you. He wants you to idolize things that he's put in front of you. He wants you to get caught up. Why? So that what? You become your own God. These I will statements. I will, I will, I will. I see this so plaguing our society today. Self-discovery. That's what it's called now. I do you, boo-boo. Just do you. I'm just doing me. Don't do you. Lose you. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, don't self-discover yourself. Lose yourself. For he who wishes to gain his life, I will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake will find it. We got to get rid of pride. See, the devil fell in love with himself instead of falling in love with God. Too many times I think we can use God spiritually because we're really in love with ourselves. Let's be honest. Let's be honest. It's in us more than we think. You know what I mean? But God wants to help us overcome it. And the devil, listen, the devil tempts us not with something that he's cleverly made up. He tempts us with who he is. Think about it. He brings who he is to the spiritual realm of darkness. Full of pride, full of rebellion, full of gossip, slander, you know, we can go on and on and on and on and on. But he's the father of these things. Because why? That's who he is. He carries them on the inside of us. And the role of the devil was to infect, and he tried to infect the human race that what? That we would carry a piece of who he is. Because why? He knows we're made in the image of God, and he wants to try to corrupt it. He wants to try to take it away. So if the devil is going to come and tempt, he's going to bring who he is. Not only that, he came to tempt Jesus. So, friends, if you feel temptation, if you feel sometimes like you're not doing a great job, take heart, friend. For your Savior has walked your road. He has been tempted, and he has overcome. But here's what I want. Here's the thing I got to get you to understand. We serve a kind-hearted Savior, full of compassion for you. He doesn't look at you, made a mistake. I think of that when I think of God being angry. Like, I don't know what to do with these people. Like, full of pride, full of mouth. No, he's tenderhearted. He has compassion on you because he knows the author of these things. And he wants to come to deliver, to heal, to set free, to put weapons in your hand that what, when the devil comes and brings who he is, you get to bring who God is to the situation. You get to find freedom. And so we see the devil coming to Jesus. You can only imagine the devil, if he's going to show up and tempt Jesus, he's bringing his A game. In fact, we see at the end that we see once he had completed every temptation. So we can know that from this passage of scripture, every temptation that you're going to face is based in these three temptations. That they're birthed in these three modes of operation, these three motives that the devil tries to birth in our hearts. These three insecurities, these three fears, these three things that I think are authored on the inside of him that he tries to bring it to us. Let's begin to look at these three things that the devil brings towards Jesus. Luke chapter 4, verse 3 through 4, it says this, "And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread.' But Jesus answered him, saying, 'It is written.'" I just want to stop there. See, it's less important the scripture Jesus used to defeat him than it is the fact that he used the word of God to defeat him. See, you can look at the devil and begin to tell him, "Devil, man will not live by bread alone, but by every word of the mouth of God." And the devil's like, "That's not what I'm tempting you with right now. That has no power." I mean, like, that's a great scripture, but it's not going to overcome this. See, Jesus had the word of God living on the inside of him. He didn't get this by magic. The Bible says that he grew in wisdom and stature. He studied like me and you. It's not the word of God that we can Google that has power. It's the word of God that we carry on the inside of us, that we believe. See, it's not just saying something out of your mouth that gives it power. If that was the case, people would just use the book and just walk around saying it and overcome everything. Think about it for a moment. It's the word of God that you believe in your heart. This is God's truth. This is God's word that I will stand on and I will not move from it. That is the word of God that when spoken back to the devil sends him fleeing in Jesus' name. See, Jesus understood that it was written, and what was written had more authority than his personal rights even. Just think about this for a moment. He doesn't look back at him and go, "You know who I am. Son of God." He doesn't do any of that. He actually appeals to an authority greater than himself. He actually appeals to an authority. What does he say? "It is written." This is God's word. He doesn't parade around. He doesn't make a bunch out of it. He just simply looks back and says, "This is the word of God. Not only that, but I believe it. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." Listen, what was the devil trying to tempt here? It's this word called provision. This is one of the great temptations of the devil that he will bring against you. That God, literally, is an assault on God, because God said one of his names is Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He is my provider. He provides for me. Jehovah, he's the Lord that heals. He is our provider. He has all that we need. So if the devil's going to attack something, what is he going to do? He's going to try to attack that. God's not going to provide for you. Jesus, I just want you to understand, you're the Son of God. I know God has sent you here on a mission, but you should probably try to provide for yourself. Hey, listen, because you have the power to do it, so just do it. Notice Jesus wouldn't even step out of authority on something he actually could do. He said, no, it is written, because God said that man will not live by bread alone, but by every word of God, word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What is he saying? He's replacing a false prophecy over his life with the truth of God's word. The false prophecy is, take your authority and do what you want with it. I will. Jesus is saying, I don't do anything that I don't first hear my Father do. I'm under authority. I will not, because why? I don't live by what I want to do. I live by the word of God out of his mouth for me. Get away from me, Satan. I love that. It is written. Luke chapter 5, he continues to challenge and move on to the next one. Luke chapter 5, verse 5 through 7, it says, "Then the devil, taking him up on a high mountain, showing him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." Just think about that. We think the devil, like, that's supernatural. Like, you got to remember who he was. He was created a supernatural being. He moves in the supernatural, okay? But how many of you know, like, dark supernatural ain't the kind of one that I want to fool around with? We got too many people, like, fooling around with that kind of stuff. And you know what? God's supernatural only heals, builds, and sets the captive free, heals our body. That's the only supernatural I'm going to play around with. And he takes him up and he says, "Here's all the kingdoms of the world." And the devil said to him, "All authority I will give to you and their glory. For this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all this will be yours." And Jesus answered him and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." What is the devil trying to tempt him with? Power. Power. So first, provision. Second, power. Notice that Jesus doesn't look back at the devil and say, "You don't have the authority to give me that." He doesn't say that. Because Jesus understands spiritual authority. He understands that there is a winning side and a dark side. There is light and darkness, and there are princes in both camps. And he understands how divine authority works. Because of Adam and Eve's sin, we turned over the keys of dominion and authority to the earth, to the devil. I love it, though. It's not what Jesus says. It's what he doesn't say. You can almost, in the back of his head, "Okay, it's yours for now." It's yours for now. You're trying to get me to take up a different plan. But God's plan, his will for my life, is not to take matters into my own hands, but for me to rest in his power to give my life. And on the third day, God's power will raise me from the dead. Even Jesus didn't take matters into his own hands. He lived what? Under God's power. He's going to try to tempt you. Take matters in your own hands. Make your own way. Make your own thing. Forget. You realize that all forms of wickedness in our world, stealing, lying, cheating, all lead back to these. I'm going to try to tempt you. God can't provide for you. God won't provide for you. God, you rely on your own strength, not God's power. And finally, he keeps on. He keeps on, because how many of you know he keeps on? But every time I think he was realizing his power, his oppression was being lifted, and Jesus was finding victory. Luke chapter 4, verses 9 through 12, it says, "Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here.'" See, the devil's starting to get wise, right? Because Jesus has been using the scripture to come against him. And he realizes, with that, "I have no authority. I have no power." Like, he's disarming me. So now I'm going to take what he's disarming me with, and I'm going to try to turn. There we go. Bless the Lord. It's probably not him. It's just a bad soundboard. I wish it was, but I think we have a problem with the soundboard. It's been doing it 3 weeks in a row. Anyway, it's good to laugh. And he begins to turn it around. Here's what he says. He says, "You're the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written." And he's quoting Psalm 91, the most well-known protection psalm in all the Bible. It was the one I was praying over my son all night. He says, "If you are God, throw yourself down here, for it is written, 'He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.' And Jesus answered him and said, 'It is also written, You shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" What is the devil coming at right here? He's using scripture and he's twisting it on Jesus, but Jesus is looking at the breath of Scripture. Friends, can I tell you, without God's word, we don't stand a chance. You got to get in that book. You got to have a passion for God's word. It's not just something that we learn of stories or because it makes us religious. It is power to overcome the enemy in our lives. But what is the devil tempting him right here with? It's protection. It's protection. You know how many people I see get off track because of this? Let me give you a little illustration. Came in the church and somebody offended me. By the way, if you come to church, you should be offended. Not because of what is said, but honestly, by people that are rude. How else are you going to learn how to be a Christian? The Bible says we're supposed to love one another, that we will be known by our love for one another. So, but Jesus also said, when somebody curses you, what do? You bless them. So, like, hey, stuff ain't going to go right. Anybody else perfect in here? Anybody? Bueller? Okay, me either. Stuff's going to happen in church that's going to offend you. But here's what starts to happen. Then the devil comes on the backside of it. Protect yourself. Protect yourself. Protect yourself. And so what do? You run, go over here. I tell somebody about it. And then they're like, yeah, they probably didn't mean it. You should probably go work that out with them. You should probably say you're sorry. I don't know. I don't really know. Maybe it'll happen again. I got to protect myself. I run over here, say to somebody. Listen, the devil's, he's a savage. He wants you to be a victim of something, and then he wants to prey on you because something bad happened to you, that you take on your protection. Do you know how many people I've seen that are bound in relational dysfunction for this very thing, rather than looking to God and saying, hey, I'm not saying you don't separate yourself from something. Don't let somebody abuse you, okay? But what do? We pray for that person, and we leave room for God to bring, quite honestly, judgment on the person. Why? So that they can be redeemed, so that their life can be turned around. And we believe what? That it's the Lord who protects us. He guides us. He is our provider. He is our protector. He is our power. He is our power. You know, the interesting thing about this passage of Scripture is Jesus comes out of the temptation. It's one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible. It's what I pray over my own life today, and it's the first message I preached in this church, and this passage of Scripture. Jesus comes out of the temptation, and the Bible says that he comes out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the first thing he does after overcoming temptation is lets everybody know why he's there. He walks over, and he pulls out a scroll, and he opens it to the book of Isaiah, and he begins to read about himself, prophetically, hundreds of years before, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he has what? Anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to set at liberty all those that are oppressed by the devil. He has sent me to recover the sight from the blind, to heal people, to deliver people, and to proclaim a favorable year of the Lord. See, friends, Jesus overcame temptation. Why? So that he could deliver me and you from the snares of the devil. And whatever coming against you, he could deliver you. I've learned that this week all over again. All over again. Pick up with my story. We were in the hospital, and my son is not really walking, won't really leave his mom's arms. Every time I try to get him to do something, he look at me and go, Dada can't. Dada can't. You're talking about breaking your heart, right? So I'm fired up. I'm ready to do whatever. I got alone with God. I said, God, I believe this is an attack of the enemy. As soon as they got him in for MRIs and a thing, and his lumbar puncture, blood work, everything, not a single thing would come back something wrong. Nothing. His accounts weren't or whatever. I said, this is the devil. Like, some of you, that might really mess with your theology, but I knew it. I knew it. This is the devil opposing our family, and he will not win today. And I said, God, I said, if you'll walk me through what I need to do to overcome, the scriptures that I need to walk through, the obedience level that I need to walk through, whatever it is, whatever you show me, I will do it. I got alone with God, I began to pray, and God began to walk me through. Like, really specific things. Like, I'm talking goofy things. There were things in our house. I think there were some gifts that God looked. I looked at them, and God said, "That don't belong in your house." I said, "Oh, yes, sir." I threw it away. I don't understand all of these things, but how many of you know our Lord understands things? And His Word will guide us. His Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I begin to pray. And things just begin to work. I mean, Zion can't walk. It was just awful. And then the next day, I felt like God showed me a few things. I began to pray. I began to claim God's Word. It was hilarious. God gave me, I think it's Isaiah 40, where it says, "He will run and not grow weary. He will run and not grow faint." I began to pray that. Then God began to walk me through passages of Scripture. And God said, "Hey, I also said, if somebody is sick amongst you, you call the elders of the church together, you lay anointing oil on them, and you pray the prayer of faith. And a believing prayer, the man will get well." And so I called two of our great people, and they would hate for me to even mention this, but they're amazing men and women of God in our church, Jerry and Jamie Howe. And I called them. I said, "Hey, you know, actually, they called me and told me we want to come pray." And, you know, that's a good friend. We had our whole pastors praying, all kinds of people around the country praying. I said, "We're going to get victory over this in Jesus' name." And I began to pray. And that morning, I felt like God gave me some things. And I prayed. I prayed for him early in the morning. I've been up. I didn't sleep for like 4 or 5 days. God kept me up all night praying for him. And I in the morning, and finally he decided, he goes, "Dada, I want to get up. And he got up, and it was like he was permanently stuck like this. It was just awful to watch. It was like all the dizziness had gone, and it was like it had shifted, and now there was like he was locked up. And so he's like this, permanently bent over. He looked like he was 100 years old. And I prayed, and I said, you know, I felt like God continued to lead me that then. Jerry and Jamie came to the, and they prayed. You know what they prayed? And I didn't even say it. He started to say it, and I was quoting it with my mouth because it had been on my tongue. He opened up his Bible, and he said, "I felt like the Lord gave me Isaiah chapter 40. He will run and not grow weary." And we prayed. We anointed him. And the little guy, within 30 minutes, had straightened up. It was about like this, but still not real sure of himself. Was super freaked out, but was starting to move around pretty good. Like, in fact, we took him to a little playroom, and he started trying to hit a baseball, but you could just tell, like, something still wasn't right? So I go home late at night that night to try to get some sleep. God wakes me up at 1 in the morning, really, really clear, really, really, with some things that I needed to do, physically I needed to do. And you don't need to, obedience is the key, whatever that is. I took care of some stuff, and I began to pray. I stayed up all night. I got to the hospital about 5 o'clock in the morning. I was laying by his bed praying, and he got up in the morning, and it was all back again. His legs weren't working. I tried to get him up, but Dada can't, and Mama can't. You know what I mean? And so we prayed, and I knew that I had broke something the night before. I can't explain it to you any other way than that. I felt it break, but I had this thing for the last 10, 15 days, this knot in my stomach. Remember me telling you something not right? And it's not in my stomach. And I got him up in the morning. After he'd been up, the doctors had come in and did their rounds, and they were kind of bummed because it looked like he was starting to go backwards when they had some hope the day before. And I picked him up. I don't want to freak anybody out. I picked him up, and I put my hand on his back, and I said, "In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you, spirit of infirmity. You go from my son right now in Jesus' mighty name." Just real simple. I didn't shout. I didn't do anything. I said it real simple. And I felt that knot in my stomach just drop. I was like, okay. And I didn't even tell Angela because I don't want to be that guy where I'm like, we won. You know, I didn't know. You know what I mean? Like, so, I mean, I God's got to help me with my faith, I guess. And in 30 minutes, he goes, "Dada, I get down." He jumps down. He goes like this. He's just walking around. I don't know how else to describe it. He's walking around. And he goes, I go outside. Outside this way, Dad, this way. You know what I mean? And we open up the door, and he goes, takes off running down the hall. And the doctors are still out there doing their rounds. Here comes my kid running by the doctors. And they didn't know who we were because I had a baseball hat on. I pull on my hat. The doctor looks at me and goes, no. He just been in the room 30 minutes earlier. He goes, what happened? I said, I prayed for him. But you know what I believe? It wasn't just that moment. It was every moment. We were wrestling with the devil. And every moment that we stood on God's word, it is written. We prayed the prayer of faith. God began to what? Loose whatever was tacking against him. And dude, the neuro lady came in. She spent almost 2 hours in our room because she just kept on, I'm so confused. That's what she kept on saying. I'm so confused. This is so weird. And she looks at my boy and she goes, you are such a little anomaly. And she knew we were pastors and she knew we believe in miracles and all that kind of stuff. And I didn't want to make her feel awkward. So she says, your son's a little anomaly. Inside of myself, I said, no, he's a little miracle because Jesus comes to heal, set free, and deliver. And I'm reminded today that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers and dark places. But here is the it is written thing that I want you to walk away with. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. It says this about Jesus. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them at the cross. Don't let the devil come against you. You stand on the word of God. It is written. And claim your victory. Come on, won't we stand to our feet? Let's begin to worship him. Come on.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.